faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you're with us. Dr. John Whitcomb joins us today for another installment of Ask Dr. John. Hey, on Monday, got a great program for you Monday. I'm really looking forward to Monday's program to have a conversation with Rob Congdon. He has been studying the European Union for 18 years. He's kind of the expert on the European Union in the Christian field. I don't really know anyone else you could get that would be have more knowledge on the European Union than Rob. And we had a fascinating conversation this morning. I've got a copy of his book showing up to me, and I will devour it over the weekend, and we will have a fascinating conversation. Man alive, folks, I'm just, after I got off the phone with him today, it was amazing to see how fast things are moving for a revived Roman Empire. And I think you're going to want to share the program with your friends on Monday after we put it on our website. And of course, maybe they can listen live at 1 o'clock Central Time on Monday. Look forward to that. Well, joining me now is our friend, Dr. John Whitcomb. He couldn't be with us Tuesday. You know why? Because Dr. Whitcomb was in the air flying on a very special trip. Dr. Whitcomb, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, brother. It's always a joy to open God's precious word and listen to the Holy Spirit speak to us, to our heart, to our soul and mind about his wonderful plan and purpose.
Tell us what you were doing on Tuesday. Well, or whenever it was.
Praise the Lord. It was called the Indianapolis Honor Flight. We had 100 veterans of the Second World War and the Korean War in that two airplanes, and each of us had a helper. My son, Don Whitcomb, was with me to take care of me and push me around in a wheelchair. And we just were very, very impressed with the way this flight was managed. It was done so carefully and so wisely. I was just so thankful for the opportunity even to share gospel tracts with many people. And we arrived we left early that morning, Saturday. That was at 5 a.m. and got back at midnight. We were so tired. But we were able to see wonderful things about the history of our nation. I'll never forget the Arlington Cemetery, especially. I could not believe what I saw there. 400,000 crosses. They seemed to go on for miles. The biggest cemetery in the world. And my grandfather, Colonel Clement Colfax Whitcomb, is buried there. He was a very great leader as a army surgeon in the First World War, and even back in the Spanish-American War. And of course, we just say, well, thank you, Lord, for those who served and those who protected us, and so that we can carry on just a little bit longer, we trust, to serve the Lord and reach out around the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
For sure. Well, let's get some details, because this sounds fascinating. First of all, was that your first time to ever be at Arlington National Cemetery?
No, I have been there a number of years ago, and actually saw my grandfather's gravestone there, but this time we could not do that, of course. But we did see the changing of the guard. Oh, mm-hmm. How spectacular. Those soldiers marching back and forth, and the changing of the guard. And that goes on night and day, mm-hmm. night and day. And I just say, well Lord, the tomb of the unknown soldier, what a reminder of the fact that that some people who've paid with their lives for the defense of our country will someday, of course, be revealed for who they are, what they did, what happened, why, and how. And I just thank the Lord for that. And also we saw the Iwo Jima Monument. We circled around that a couple times. You remember the soldiers holding up that flag? And we went to the World War II Monument, where all the states and territories of America that were involved in the war were there, and they lined us all up, all 100 of us, with a huge picture that they had already prepared for us, 3 feet wide, 4 feet high, a picture of what we looked like, each of us, in the in the Second World War. And we had that picture in front of us, and they lined us up. And I say, well, thank you, Lord, for for the planning and the preparing that these men have done to honor our veterans. And we just came back late that night to Indianapolis and went down a long corridor in a huge high school near the Indianapolis airport. And a Scottish bagpipe band welcomed us, and hundreds of people on either side waving flags. And I would reach out with a gospel tract or say, thank you, or God bless you. And we finally came into a huge auditorium, and there were hundreds of people. And as each of us got wheeled in on our wheelchairs with our picture in front of us, a big picture of what we looked like 70 years ago, they screamed and shouted, and there was my family waiting to see me and welcome me home. And I'll not soon forget that one. It was just a very well-planned, organized flight, and we just thank the Lord for a nation that still honors those who are willing to pay the ultimate price. And so not only was my grandfather a great military leader, for which he received the Croix de Guerre from the French government as the head of the one who organized all medical supplies of Europe, but my father was in both world wars, and he was a chief of staff under General Patton in the Third Army in the Second World War. And one of my grandsons, Weston Whitcomb, has been to Afghanistan twice. He's a captain, an infantry captain. So we say, well, thank you, Lord, for opportunities to serve in this way, and to be a testimony for the Savior, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and to seek to honor him in this way.
Well, absolutely. I just put into a search engine, Indy Honor Flight, and I found an article here from WTHR.com, Indy Honor Flight, and it's a I'll put it up on our Facebook page at facebook.com/worldviewweekend. I'll put that up there right now. I am scrolling through a bunch of pictures. I'm looking for you. you might be in here. There's a row of one, two, three, four, five, at least five gentlemen in wheelchairs, all of them holding huge posters of themselves, pictures of themselves from, you know, when they were in service.
Yes.
I'm venturing to guess you're in this line. It's longer than five men, but because I'm looking at more shots now, and they've got you guys in several rows. Now I see this looks like basketball arena or something where there's looks like hundreds of people there. What time of day was that when you got back and they greeted you?
Did you say what kind of a day was it?
What time of day was that?
We finally got back about 11 o'clock that night, and by the time that final ceremony was over with, I had to be hurried home at midnight to help my son from Pittsburgh. Dr. David Whitcomb and his wife were there. They hurried me home because they had to leave early the next morning, and I say, well, thank you, Lord, for the memory of that encounter and that opportunity to be a light reflector for Jesus to some of those dear men and to be welcomed home by our wonderful family.
Absolutely. Okay, so you left at 5 a.m. that morning? Is that
right?
What I heard you say? Okay,
yes.
So you went from 5 a.m. in the morning until midnight, so you had about a 21-hour day. 92 years old, you're going to be 93 in June, is that it?
No, I'm sorry, I'm only 90, I won't be 91 until June.
Sorry, you know, I'm confusing you with my great aunt. She's 93, or she's 92, going to be 93. I think she's 93, going to be 94 in December, and I get you two confused. You're the only folks I have regular contact with. They're in their 90s, so I get your ages confused. But okay, so you're going to be 91 in June.
God willing.
And you put in basically a 20-plus-hour day flying to D.C. from Indianapolis or Indiana to D.C. and back, seeing all those sights. That's quite a day.
Amen. Well, I must confess, I slept in the airplane.
Well, I would have been sleeping, too, because I would have been so heavily medicated. I would have been sleeping because I don't like to fly. That Tomb of the Unknown Soldier is my favorite place to go to in D.C., particularly to watch the changing of the guard and yes. and the stillness, the quietness. And I'll tell you what, if I've been there when young people, some young people or maybe even adults don't realize the proper decorum and they're talking too loud, and that soldier will turn and toward the crowd and he will click his heels and he will scold them and remind them of where they're at.
Yes.
And then he will click his heels and turn and continue his walking. And if you do a study listening, friends, it's a lot of this stuff is done in 21 paces, 21 seconds, you know, turning, and all in honor of like the 21 salute. So a lot is done in 21. And it is a fascinating place to go as far as if you want to go somewhere where there's a reverence and a value for life in our culture today that seems to devalue life so much. There certainly is a value and honoring of life there, and the preciousness of life there. If you haven't done it, I encourage you to go there. Been there many, many times when I lived in the Northern Virginia area. And then even when I would go back, I would try to make a certain stop there. If I couldn't go anywhere, I would like to at least go there. So that was always on my list, even if I grabbed a cab and went into the area and then was there for a few minutes and left. So I encourage all of you to do that. Now, what kind of plane were you flying on, Dr. Whitcomb?
You know what? I don't remember exactly what kind of a plane it was, but it was a very large plane to hold 100 of us, and there were two planes, 50 of the veterans in one plane, 50 in another, each one, as I mentioned, with a helper. So that meant 200 of us in those two planes.
Mm. Okay, so you weren't on like a. I didn't know if they were gonna. I didn't know if they carried you on a special military plane or a commercial airline.
It wasn't a special military plane, as far as I know.
Okay.
But anyway, the amazing thing to me is that God tells us how important it is to be a good soldier. You remember what He said to Timothy in his last letter: "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." Now listen to this. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And I say, Lord, I want to be a soldier for you. I want to be active for you. I want to please you who enlisted me in your army, your spiritual army. And I thank God for this analogy and this comparison in God's word.
Hmm. Well, when we come back from the break, Dr. Whitcomb, I'd like to have you share with us a little bit about your service in World War II and the Battle of the Bulge. We have people that often will email me saying, do you think Dr. Whitcomb would share a little bit about what he saw, what he experienced? And, of course, you're always careful not to want to go prying into areas that soldiers prefer to leave unspoken. And so I've never really approached that with you too much. But I did ask Paul if that was okay, and I asked you before we went on the air, and you said yes. And so when we come back from the break, Dr. Whitcomb is going to share with us a little bit of what he saw at the Battle of the Bulge and how God used that in his life. And this, again, is a part of history, and here we have the opportunity to have someone that was part of that history share it with us, a generation that is quickly passing. But aren't we so thankful that God has preserved Dr. Whitcomb for us and for the church, and what a blessing is, as God has gifted special men with certain gifts that they use for the edification and equipping of the saints, as we see in Ephesians 4. So we're thankful for Dr. Whitcomb. By the way, posting that article with pictures of which Dr. Whitcomb was a part on our Facebook page at facebook.com/worldviewweekend. We'll be right back.
Check out the new Situation Room at situationroom.net/join. We spent months rebuilding the world's premier on-demand biblical worldview radio and television network membership page, and you're going to be amazed. Check it out right now on your computer, iPad, or smartphone, and see just how amazing the new Situation Room looks and how it's organized with a universal player, powerful search engine, and nearly $60,000 in on-demand radio and television content. You also have access to numerous ebooks, audiobooks, PowerPoint presentations, and transcriptions. If you want to understand the times through the lens of a biblical worldview, get answers to important Bible questions, or be involved in intensive Bible study and research, then check out situationroom.net/join. You can now join for just $7.99 a month and have instant access to the radio and television programs of Brannon Howes, Mike Gendron, Mike Abendroff, Mike Riddle, Justin Peters, John Whitcomb, Jimmy DeYoung, Jesse Johnson, Susan Heck, Chris Pinto, John Leffler, Erwin Lutzer, Usama Dakdok, T.A. McMahon, Michael John Beasley, David Farnell, and Tommy Ice. Many of these programs are exclusive to the Situation Room and are produced and or distributed by Worldview Weekend from our radio and television studios in Memphis, Tennessee. Our goal is to help you defend and proclaim a biblical worldview. So why not go to situationroom.net/join right now and look at what is waiting for you as a member. This is broadcast quality, biblically sound, on-demand content for the entire family. Situationroom.net/join. Join now, and we'll send you 20 Worldview Weekend DVDs as our way of saying thank you for becoming a member or for renewing your membership. That's $300 in free DVDs shipped to you free of charge when you join at situationroom.net/join.
Welcome back. Glad you're with us. And indeed, we have gotten now posted the article from WTHR.com of the Indy Honor Flight that took place April 4th, 2015, of which Dr. Whitcomb was a part of that. And if you want to go to our web Facebook page, facebook.com/worldviewweekend, you can see a link to that and pictures of which Dr. Whitcomb is a part of that. We'll look for some more because he did say they took some pictures in D.C. as well. And so we're going to look for a few more of those pictures and try to get them up there on our Facebook page for folks to see. If you do find it, Dr. Whitcomb says he is in that group in D.C. where they took the pictures of them with their pictures of when they were much younger. He is to the far left, right, Dr. Whitcomb?
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll look for those, see if we can find them, put them on our Facebook page. Well, tell us about the Battle of the Bulge and how God used that in your life, because you told me before we went on the air that, yes, I'll talk about that and how God used that in my life. So please, tell us what you feel comfortable telling us about what you experienced and saw there at the Battle of the Bulge.
Yes, in December 1944, in Belgium, the German army counterattacked with 300,000 soldiers. And it was an absolutely suicidal attack because von Rundstedt, the general of the German army, told Adolf Hitler, "Unmöglich, impossible. We can't go up mountains in the snow in the winter on narrow roads with field artillery firing at us. We can't. It won't work." Hitler said, "Go." He ruined the German army. And my father, who was a military historian and actually taught at West Point, agreed that the German army was an excellent army, but it was destroyed by a demonic leader, as we all know. But anyway, when that battle took place, we were taken by total surprise, and we were pushed back into the mountains of Belgium from Germany, where we had already arrived in the push toward, as you know, toward Berlin. We were pushed back in those mountains, and 19,000 of our men died. Many thousands taken prisoner, wounded. And I just say, Lord, thank you for your mercy in sparing me through that, because as we were pushed back in those mountains, I was in a field artillery battalion, the 909th Field Artillery Battalion, and in the 84th Infantry Division of the 9th Army. And as we were pushed back, we dug in to set up our field artillery, 12 105 millimeter howitzers to aim at the German tanks coming up those narrow roads, with a Ford observer out there telling us where that tank was coming from. And we would tell the cannoneers, fire a smoke shell round. So 12 smoke shells were fired and, of course, missed the target. And the Ford observer says, move to the right a little bit to forward, and a second round. Now we had the tank zeroed in. The third round was armor-piercing delayed fuse shells that went inside the tank and destroyed it. And it is now agreed by Army historians that ultimately what totally defeated the German Army was American field artillery. And I'll never forget one night. I was on guard duty. And the minute I went down from guard duty into that basement headquarters, field artillery headquarters, a German artillery shell exploded there. It would have killed me. God got my attention. Now, I was already a born-again Christian. I had accepted the Lord as a godless evolutionist at Princeton University a year and a half earlier in the spring of 43. But God really got my attention in sort of like this. John, you belong to me. I have something for you to do. Follow me. Obey me. Honor me in your life. And so as I went as a German interpreter for our army into the villages and towns and cities heading east toward the Rhine River where we met the German, Russian army, I would go into people's homes. German people were afraid of us. The Nazis had told them the Americans will kill you. I said, no, you just cooperate with us and we'll take care of you. You can stay in your home, in your kitchen during the day, but at night you have to move in your neighbors. We're taking over your home for our soldiers this night. So throughout that war and for months afterwards waiting to get back to America, God gave me opportunities to be a witness to certain people for him. And I was able to go to England even in August and September of 45. And to enroll in Shrivenham University and participate in gospel campaigns in London. This is the Victory was the name of one of those campaigns, and thousands of people came to hear the gospel. And I wasn't one of the preachers, of course, but I was there to help in the evangelistic outreach to the British people. And, of course, finally, in God's mercy, I got back to America in January 46. To go back to Princeton University, where I had been when I was drafted. And I say, well, Lord, thank you for that opportunity. What a rare one to be a witness for you during that war and when the war ended after that war and to survive even the Battle of the Bulge. And I say, thank you, God, for that remembrance and that may be an encouragement to others who are in very difficult circumstances. In various parts of the world today, as we well know, who are seeking to honor the Lord, even in their military service for him.
Dr. Whitcomb, did I hear you say you were interpreting?
I was the German interpreter for our battalion. I had studied German at Princeton University before I was drafted, so I was the only one that could speak any German at all. So they made me the interpreter for them.
Wow, I did not know you spoke German. What were you majoring in at Princeton?
I was majoring I was trying to study in the Institute for Public and International Affairs to be a diplomat or ambassador for the U.S. government. My eyes weren't clear enough to qualify to go to West Point like my father wanted me to be. So we thought that Princeton University would be second best and I could study there. And of course, when I came back from the war, I changed my major to ancient and European history to understand more about the background of the Bible and to participate in Christian ministry through the Princeton Evangelical Fellowship, through which I had come to know the Savior. And in May of 46, I'm sorry again. In May of 47, we put on a film, The God of Creation, produced by Moody Institute of Science. We invited all the professors and students of the university to come to the auditorium to see that film. 200 arrived. Guess who walked in? Albert Einstein. Hmm. He was in the Institute of Advanced Studies near the campus. He was not an atheist. He was fascinated by how the world was designed. And he heard the gospel that night, and I gave him a gospel tract as he walked out. And I don't know if he ever came to know the Lord personally as his Savior, but I say thank you, God, for opportunities like that to reach out in places where gospel is not really honored. Our major universities, as we all know, have long departed from gospel, but we have witnesses for the Savior in almost all those campuses that are telling people about the gospel.
Dr. Whitcomb, you certainly have lived a fascinating life. You said you were hoping to train to be an ambassador for the government. Of course, you ended up becoming an ambassador for the kingdom that will never end.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
I'm reading here about the Battle of the Bulge. It says here, for the Americans, 610,000 men were involved in the battle.
Right.
Of whom 89,000 were casualties, including 19,000 killed. It was the largest and bloodiest battle fought by the United States in World War II. 610,000 men, that's just on our side. I'm sure I can find out how many men were on their side in that battle. Looks like the Germans' initial attack included 200,000 men, so they were quite outnumbered. 340 tanks the Germans had and 280 other tracked vehicles. Between 67,200 and 100,000 of their men were killed, missing, or wounded. How many square miles, any idea? How many square miles did this battlefield take up with that many men?
I just don't know those particular details, but I have had the privilege of going back, I think 15 years ago it was, to see where that battle took place and to be, again, in the Belgian town of Marche, where we was the farthest penetration westward of the German army, where we were there on guard and on duty, watching and waiting for opportunities to defend our army.
This took place during the winter, and the pictures of it just show lots of snow. I don't know what the temperatures were like. I'm guessing rather cold.
Oh, my. I'll never forget. One day I was walking down through a hill and saw a barn, and I was so cold I was going to go in that barn and warm up a little bit. I opened the door. It was a temporary mortuary for dead soldiers. I decided not to stay there. I say, Lord, what an amazing environment in which you accomplished some of the things that have never been forgotten to this day.
What, when you normally stayed, or were you staying in, I know at one point you were moved into homes, you said, but
yes.
I guess sometimes at night, were you in tents? I'm guessing some nights you weren't even in tents. You were just sitting up against a tree, I guess, huh?
Right. Now, of course, that was after that Battle of the Bulge ended. Then we moved across Germany, you see, during the months of January through April, all the way across North Germany to the Rhine River, Elbe River, where we met the Russian army. So that took place after the Battle of the Bulge had ended, during those following months.
So you were involved in the Battle of the Bulge and in this encounter with the Russians?
Yes.
Any other battles that you were a part of that I don't know about?
No, those were the only battles I was in. And, of course, in August of 1945, we were horrified to hear that two atomic bombs had fallen in Japan and totally annihilated tens of thousands of people instantly in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. That, by the way, is why Einstein was in a state of depression. He was afraid that those kinds of bombs would wipe out the whole world. And we know they could, and they would, if God didn't have a plan for Israel and the church, which is yet to be accomplished in his purpose for this earth. So yes, a whole new kind of world was unveiled that summer of 1945.
Because Einstein had something to do with the atomic bomb,
yes.
For those who don't know, right? Tell us about that.
Right. He was part of ones who designed that bomb, and he knew exactly what would happen. And of course, we're told, aren't we, by the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 3, that the whole world is going to be destroyed by fire. And we know that is something that, there's an invisible thread that holds us together from heaven, and that's the mercy of God. Because we're told that someday the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat, 2 Peter 3:12. But according to his promise, we're looking for new heavens and a new earth in which dwells righteousness. So this present system we know will be destroyed by fire, but not yet. There's 7 years of preparation for the kingdom. It's called the 70th week of Daniel. in a thousand-year kingdom with the Lord Jesus Christ ruling over the world as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and then at the end of that kingdom...
Hold right there. We'll be right back.
We have some specials for you at this time of year. How about five books for just $39? Normally $81 for all five books, but now this special, $39, gets you five books. Four of them are hardcover. You get Twisted Scripture, Twisted Theology, and then you get all these books, which are hardcover. Religious Trojan Horse, which is 385 pages. Grave Influence, Christian Worldview for Students, Volume 1, Christian Worldview for Students, Volume 2. $81 worth of books for just $39. It's a special package price we have at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore. Here's another special for you. You get Grave Influence, Religious Trojan Horse, and Twisted Scripture, Twisted Theology for just $29. Again, this is a very special price. All three books for just $29. Grave Influence, Religious Trojan Horse, Twisted Scripture, Twisted Theology. You can find both of these specials at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore. This year, give the gift of a biblical worldview.
Welcome back, Worldview Weekend Radio. Any of you that are searching out there on the internet, Indy Honor Flight, April 4th, 2015, and you find any pictures you think are interesting, put it on our Facebook page underneath where I put the article, facebook.com/worldviewweekend. I'm finding some very interesting photographs. I'll post a few of these. Still looking for a few of you in here, Dr. Whitcomb. It's quite a collection of veterans, and I do see one now of... one of the planes, they took a standing at the front of the plane, they took a picture of the veterans sitting there waiting to take off with their assistant that each had. And, yeah, the plane is full. So, yeah, I'm finding a lot of photographs. Any of you find any that you think are interesting? Particularly, I'm looking for the one of Dr. Whitcomb. Maybe even Paul can send it over to me, a link to the one of Dr. Whitcomb, or send me as a JPEG. We'll load it up from there, of him in Washington, D.C., with the gentleman in front of the memorial holding his picture. We'll get that up online. Dr. Whitcomb, you, when we went to break, you were talking about the fact that eventually God's kingdom will come. It will crush Satan's kingdom, and of God's kingdom there'll be no end.
Praise the Lord for his promises and his plan, which we don't deserve, but he has graciously provided for every person that's ever lived on this planet or ever will an opportunity to believe in him, to trust in him, to be saved and to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit and to belong to him forever. And I say thank you, God, for your mercy. It'll take all eternity for God to show us the great price that Jesus paid on that cross for our sins. Through his precious blood, applied by the Holy Spirit, as revealed in his word. And I want to be a light reflector for Jesus until that day when he calls us to himself. Praise God for that opportunity.
You talk about meeting Albert Einstein, and he was kind of depressed. He was concerned about what the atomic bomb would mean. I'm reading that, I guess, the Albert Einstein did not directly invent the atomic bomb, but was instrumental in facilitating its development, what I'm reading. I guess he also wrote a letter at some point to President Franklin Roosevelt urging that the bomb be built. And, of course, you met him. When you met him, what year did you meet him?
That was in May of 1947.
Wow.
And he lived another 4 or 5 years. He was even invited, encouraged to become the Prime Minister of Israel, but he declined, and he stayed right there at Princeton until he died.
I did not know that. He was invited to become the Prime Minister of Israel.
Yes.
Wow, I did not know that. The Battle of the Bulge. I was speaking in Tucson, Arizona, many years ago, shortly after I was married, and the first trip, my wife and I were together, and we stayed in the home in the foothills of Tucson of a World War II veteran and fascinating gentleman and his lovely wife. They had a beautiful home in the foothills of Tucson that at night we could be on their patio with their pool. I think everybody in Phoenix or in Tucson has a pool, but pretty much, it seems. And we could sit by the pool at night and look down over Tucson, like a, it looked like a jewelry box, shimmering lights. It was beautiful. And I went in to use the bathroom. There's a full bathroom off the guest room on the first floor. And I, that was where we, my wife and I were staying. And I went in there to shower, and on the wall was a shadow box, and there were all these different medals and things, and looked like they were from World War II, and some kind of metal container. I don't know if it was a little metal container that, you know, chewing tobacco or snuff or something had been in, or what it was. It was just some kind of small metal container with a lid on it that was also in this shadow box, and it had a dent in it. And I asked the gentleman about that, and I guess this was on his person, and he was shot, and it hit that metal box, and it acted as kind of like a body armor for him. But he was also in the Battle of the Bulge, and told us, my wife and I, these stories of the incredible winter and the extreme conditions that they went through. But again, this generation is quickly going, but yet this is history that our young people need to know about. Why do you think this history is so important for young people to know, Dr. Whitcomb?
It's important for our young people to realize that God has planned a special program for human survival in Satan's world. This may sound strange to some people, but Romans 13 says we're to honor the government. We're to pay our taxes. What do you mean by that? Well, of course, the answer is that God says he has, he says that every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. Therefore, he who resists authority is opposed to the ordinance of God. Rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. For a minister of God, it is a minister of God for good. And it does not bear the sword, now here's the army here, for nothing. It is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. And for this reason, we're to pay taxes. And I say, well, that's amazing, because our governments, even when Paul wrote this, as you know, the Roman government wasn't a godly system at all. Very evil, wicked emperors. But there's one thing the Bible makes clear in this world system God has designed. There's something worse than a bad government. It's no government. Total chaos. That is not God's plan for the human race. So we say, well, thank you, Lord, for helping us to realize that you have a plan, a program that we're to be subjected to and pay honor and respect to our government. You remember when John the Baptist proclaimed the messenger of Jesus, that some of those soldiers came up and said, well, what shall we do? He didn't say get out of the army. He said be content with your wages and don't be unnecessarily cruel to people. So I say, well, that's an amazing provision, isn't it, that God has made for our protection. So that is one of the reasons why, of course, we realize that when the day comes that we can't have an army, we can't have military support, we can't have a government, that'll be a day of satanic, demonic chaos on this earth.
Hmm. Well, we're going to ask Dr. Whitcomb a few theological questions today, but Dr. Whitcomb, thank you so much for taking today's broadcast to share what many have been asking about, your service in World War II and your particular experiences there, and helping us to actually capture this history from someone such as yourself as an archive in the format of radio and MP3. We thank you for that.
Thank you.
I think many people will want to share this program tonight. We post it online at worldviewradio.com. And again, if you do find some interesting photographs, folks, go ahead and put them up at facebook.com/worldviewweekend. And again, we're going to see if Paul, who works with you, Dr. Whitcomb, can send us a few good JPEGs and things, and we can get some of those up on Facebook as well. I'm guessing that your son probably brought a camera along with him, didn't he?
Yes. Many, many pictures. So, we haven't had a chance to even see most of them yet, but we just want to be very careful not to just talk about what I did or what we did, but what God is doing in this whole situation that we're facing more than ever today. May God be glorified and honored in what his plan and purpose for his church, his people, his servants might be even today.
Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. Well, before we open up the phone lines, for your calls, your questions, your comments, I'm sure many of you are going to want to comment on what you've heard thus far, and that would be completely fine and appropriate. But let's move to a few theological questions first. This person says, I attended a dispensational Bible college some years ago, but felt like I did not retain enough from many of the classics except on the one on Genesis. How can I master more of the Bible?
Yeah, this is interesting. I taught in a dispensational school for many years, 39 years, and amazingly, when I first went there, one of the weak points of the school program of theological training was the book of Genesis. There were compromises, the gap theory, you know, that the world is millions of years old and that type of thing, and the Genesis flood had no significance, and praise God, all that changed. But in some schools, like the one that this person writes about, the one book that he was taught carefully was Genesis. Very interesting. And that provokes a good question, doesn't it? Where can you find a good school, and I mean good in God's sense of good, where everything in the Bible is taught from Genesis to Revelation, the whole 66 books of the Bible? Very rare, dear friends, are schools like that today. In fact, Jesus asked that question, when the Son of Man returns, will he find the faith on the earth? That doesn't mean faith. There'll be plenty of people having faith and be saved. But how many people will believe the whole Bible? The faith. And I say, Lord, I don't know how many, but help me to be one of them. Help me to be one of them. I want to master the Bible. So that's what, you know, Paul told Timothy, didn't he? 2 Timothy, his last letter, he said, continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you've learned them. This is 2 Timothy 3:14. And from childhood you've known the sacred scriptures, that's, of course, the Old Testament, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now here's the big one. All scripture, all 66 books, 1,700 chapters. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And I say thank you, Lord, for that opportunity. And so we have good commentaries available, don't we, to help us in our study of the Bible. Bibles with good, dependable footnotes. Study aids. One commentary that I found helpful is called Believer's Bible Commentary by William MacDonald. And many of my commentaries have been such a help to me in understanding what God meant by what he said. This particular volume is 2,300 pages long. And I say thank you, God, for people who spent their lives studying the scriptures. I cannot get along without help from others. There's nobody that knows it all. We need each other, don't we, in the body of Christ, to teach each other, encourage each other in the things of the inspired and inerrant word of the living God, the Bible.
Amen to that. All right, folks, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions for Dr. Whitcomb, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. 9829. We have a few questions here, Dr. Whitcomb, but we can save them for our next visit. I think it was a rare honor and opportunity to hear from you and your perspective today and your testimony today.
Thank
I think
you.
Many people find it very interesting. So we can take these questions that we have remaining and add them to our next program. But folks, phone lines are now open. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. 29. Just received a comment from someone on Facebook wanting to know about international orders. We don't take international orders, let me just say quickly why. The burden of paperwork by the United States Postal Service, which I understand they have to do, the burden of paperwork in the triplets and quadruplets is just overwhelming. The cost is very hard to calculate for us as well. And but that's why we have the Situation Room. And that's also why we make all of our radio and television programs free for a week or more, so people all over the world can receive this information. So again, I hope you can understand where we're coming from. We'll be right back with your calls. Joining me on the line now is RJ with Jig Media. RJ has worked with us now for 3 years, his company has, helping us to develop a lot of new things. RJ, just rattle off some of the things your company's helped us do the last 3 years that might be of interest to business owners or ministry leaders that are listening.
Hey, Brandon, thanks for having us on. Really appreciate the opportunity. Some of the things that we've been able to help Worldview Weekend develop are things like Roku channels, the new mobile application, Chromecasting. Really had a lot of opportunities working with Worldview Weekend as you've try to push the envelope of technologies and delivering content to your users. It's given us an opportunity to grow with you and really bring these new technologies that are available to the foundation and to your ministries.
So if someone listening today has a small business, medium-sized business, or is a ministry leader, and they wanted an app for their iPhone, iPad, Android, a Roku channel, they wanted their player on their ministry or business website to be able to take advantage of the Google Chromecast technology, how would they get a hold of you to have your company do what you've done for our ministry?
Yeah, we'd love to speak with anybody out there that is interested in looking into these technologies and expanding their business or see how they can improve their existing online business. They can contact us easily, directly contact me via email at rj@jigmedia.com. That's JIGG media.com. And I'd be happy to take those inquiries personally.
So rj@jigmedia.com, and Jig is JIGG. All right, and so it's not just businesses. You'll work with ministries like you did with ours. So this is, again, introducing you to the folks in our listening audience who either are a business owner or are, like us, running a ministry in an organization. This is, again, what Jig Media does. They've worked with us for 3 years, and they've done such a good job, we wanted to take the opportunity to tell you about them if you're interested, because a lot of folks email us asking us, who do you work with? How do you do these things? And we want to show our appreciation to Jig Media for what they've done with us the last few years. So folks, if you're a ministry or business is interested in contracting with an organization like Jig Media, you just email RJ at rj@jigmedia.com. And Jig is J-I-G-G. rj@jigmedia.com. He'll get back to you, and maybe his organization can do for you what they've been able to do for us. Welcome back. 1-800-347-9829. Let's start out with line 3. Gary is calling in, and then we're going to go to a call in Germany. Wow. Let's start out with Gary, line 3. Go right ahead, Gary. Thanks for calling in. Go ahead, Gary.
Hi. Are you there?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You know, these Bluetooths and these phones, in these cars, but I... You know, hey, Dr. John Whitcomb, man, I've been a long, long time fan of yours, and I just thank you for your great, great service to the Lord and spreading the word, you know, and especially being one of the early realizers that you know, Earth Age. You and Jay Vernon McGee are some of my top three guys, but I did a study with Jay Vernon through his thing here a couple of months ago, and it was on Genesis, and I exited out because he wasn't sure of the Earth Age like you are, and everything you say about that is just right on.
Thank you for that encouragement. McGee's gone with the Lord, but his messages are still going out around the world more than even when he was alive.
I think he's
for that ministry today.
Someone told me, I don't know if this is true, but someone in Christian broadcasting, told me that J. Vernon McGee has the largest Christian organization in the world.
Wow.
I don't know if there's any truth to that, but that's what they said in regards to how many stations around the world were still carrying his programming. And if that's the case, that's...
He being dead yet speaketh. Praise God.
Yes. Let's go to line four. Tim is calling in from Germany. Tim, thanks for your call. Go right ahead, Tim.
Yes, sir, Dr. Whitcomb. So enjoyed your comments of your experiences in the Second World War over here in Europe. My dad was in the Battle of the Bulge with his dear godly friend Jimmy Wilson. They were there just east of Bastogne, and his friend and he looked east to the German Eiffel Mountains, continuing from the Ardennes Mountains there, and Jimmy said to my dad, wouldn't it be great if we didn't have to fight those folks, but we could give them the gospel of Christ instead?
Yes. Mm.
And it was within a day or so after that that Jimmy failed to see a machine gun nest, and he was shot. Mm. And my dad was at his side when he entered heaven. His last words were, well, Bill, you've got to take the Bible study. The Lord doesn't want me to go any farther. And so he entered heaven. But as a result from all of that, God just worked. We've been here most of our life now, over 30 years here in Germany. And we've got a dear friend there just east of Bastogne in the Eiffel Mountains with a church, a German friend with Eiffel Baptist Church. They're the first Baptist church that's ever been in that area of Germany. Mm.
Wow.
So we praise God for what he's doing.
Tim, are you there with a vocation? Are you there as a missionary?
Yes, I'm here as a church planter.
Been
here for 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'm on the north side of Hamburg, though, way north, about four or five hours north of where that area is. But I used to be down in that area. Took my dad there about 40 years after it to Bastogne. And, of course, he wept as he saw the museum and all the displays and the video presentations there. As memories came back of his dear godly friend, Jimmy Wilson from Georgia, who he'd shared fellowship with up to the time of the bulge.
Tim, how did you find our broadcast and our program in VCY America all the way in Germany?
On the Internet.
Wow, praise the Lord. Send me an email about your ministry. I'd like to find out more about what you're doing there, Tim.
All righty. I'll be glad to do that.
Just send
Lord
it
bless
to me.
You, Brandon, and Dr. Whitcomb, so good to hear you again. You were with my dad. My dad pastored for 57 years, and you were with him in Denver, Colorado, at North Federal Baptist Church. 50 years ago, I sat next to you in the car, but I was only about six.
Happy memories of years gone by. Pray that I'll continue to...
Well, Lord bless you.
Amen. Praise
Thank
God
you.
For that. Thank you for your encouragement.
Thank you, Tim. Now that you tell that story, I think you've called in before because I've heard that story from you before. Maybe you didn't tell us you were calling from Germany last time. But, Tim, great to hear from you. Thank you for your ministry. Love to find out more about what you're doing. Send us an email if you would, please. info@worldviewweekend.com and then put in the subject line, Tim from Germany, so it catches my attention. Well, yeah, I'd love to find out more about your ministry and what you're doing there. I hope our program and the broadcast and the network is an encouragement to you there. Let's go to line. Well, let's go to Gary. Wait, we're done. Gone to Gary. Let's go to Eric, line two. Eric, thanks for calling in. Eric, go right ahead, line two.
Yes, I just really wanted to thank Dr. John for his World War II service and his wonderful biblical insight. Of course, with guided by the Spirit of God. I simply wanted to put my name down in that direction and thank him so dearly.
Thank you very much, brother, and pray for me as I continue to give out this special gospel tract for veterans. It's called One Nation Under God, and we trust that God will use these materials to help people who have even served our government to serve the Lord Jesus, our King
Amen.
Kings and Lord of Lords.
And I'm guessing, Dr. Whitcomb, that tract is available to others who I'm sure there are those saying, well, how can I get some of those tracts to give to veterans? I'm guessing you have those on your website at whitcombministries.org?
It's the one, yes, whitcombministries.org. Or you can write to them. It's called ruforsure.com. RU4SURE.com. That may be a place you can get this tract as well.
Okay. Let's go to Mike. Mike, thanks for calling in. Mike, go right ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to thank Dr. Whitcomb for his service in the military. My father was in the military, and he served in the Navy in World War II. And I was just like, you know, he said he was at the Arlington National Cemetery. And you see, you probably see the same thing over there at Normandy, all the rows and rows of white crosses and Stars of David. But I just wonder, ever since our Revolutionary War, how many people do you think were Islamic that died and served our country, even up until the present time? I just want...
I have no idea, but I'm sure it's hundreds of thousands, and we just are amazed that God has used these military forces to protect us from collapse so so that somehow the remnant of the church in this country can still reach out to the ends of the earth with the gospel till Jesus comes. Amen.
Dr. Whitcomb, you are a gift to the church. You're a gift to our program, our network here at Worldview Weekend, VCY America. We all appreciate you. And I join all of the callers, as well as those who didn't have the chance to call in. I know they would want to add their voice to a hearty thank you to you for your service, but also for your ministry. Dr. Whitcomb, thank you for being a faithful witness and a friend. We look forward to visiting with you again, Lord willing, real soon.
Thank you, and God bless you all. Until Jesus comes, we say thank you, God, for your mercy and your love and grace.
Amen. All right, folks, thanks for listening. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, VCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on VCY America.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Justin Peters. In 2011, I had the privilege of meeting and getting to know Brannon House. Since that time, Brannon and I have become good friends and one for whom I have a great deal of respect. Brannon is one who takes very seriously Jude's exhortation to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Brannon is willing and has taken stands on biblical issues that few others are willing to take. If you have benefited from this ministry and wish to have a part in furthering its scope, I ask you for two things. First, pray for Brannon, his family, and this work which God has entrusted to him. And also, for those who are able to do so, please consider supporting Worldview Weekend financially. Your one-time gift or monthly support to the Worldview Weekend Foundation, a nonprofit organization, is fully tax-deductible and can be made at worldviewweekendfoundation.com. That's worldviewweekendfoundation.com. Your support will help this important ministry to continue and to grow, all for the glory of God. Thank you so much for your support, and may God be glorified in our lives.